I had myself cut off, which is good. But y'all in good shape. We're going to pick up with Galatians today, add a few things to that, jump back into one of the Psalms, talk about refuge. We need refuges, strength, our sources of strength. And with Galatians, we're very, very thankful that we can look at what was it that was so special about this message that Paul had and that he gave. Because he makes a big point of the fact that he didn't come up with this. That this wasn't a message that was created by human beings. This wasn't a message that he received when he went to Jerusalem and talked with the apostles. It wasn't something that they handed down to him. For Paul, this was a very different message. And we'll talk about why. Because there was a lot of things that he already knew. But this was a very different message. And it was grounded in that Damascus Road experience. You see, for Paul, he received this message, and this message that we are saved by faith and not works, not something that we earn, but by faith. And it was a faith that was revealed to him by Jesus himself. So Paul's really saying this, I got this straight from the source. And so the question for each of us is, have we had that conversation with Jesus ourselves? Have we got that gospel straight from the source? So that's the good news. And it is indeed good news. And today is the Sabbath. We're going to celebrate it. It's hot. The shade we're going to hope holds out. If not, retreat. And we will try to take care of it that way. Stay hydrated. It's important. But take the Sabbath. If you haven't rested this week, try to rest a little bit. Try to let go a little bit. Try to unwind a little bit. Sometimes we get so tight that it's almost like we're going to explode. Just let it, you know, they got song and Frozen, let it go. Let it go. I've heard Frozen. I've seen the Smurfs. I have gotten an education in these last 2 weeks on everything animated. And so, but it's been good. But we're thankful to be here today, and it's good that we can worship today.
Praise. exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
All that we do. That was an amen. May we exalt the Lord in all that we do. Today, we have a couple birthdays that we want to remember. Patrick Bennington is 42 today, so you can tell him I told you how old he was. But he's having a birthday today, which he'll celebrate as soon as he gets off work. But he will celebrate a nice birthday, and got a wonderful family to celebrate it with. So we wish him a happy birthday today, and hope you got one coming up Monday. Yep. Yep. Okay, Russell, last Monday. So, hey, happy birthday to everyone. I had one 2 weeks ago, too. And for those of you that are wondering, I turned 67, and it's hard to believe. I don't feel it except some days. Every now and then, my body lets me know that there are certain things. It's kind of the getting up part, and particularly from the floor to try to get up. It gets kind of hard at that point, but, you know, life kind of creeps up on you, and before you know it, you know, things have changed a little bit. You know, it's good to be able to celebrate each birthday, and anniversaries, same way. I know yesterday was the anniversary for Dave and Wanda Hudson. And so, you know, anniversaries, birthdays, they're great times. And you want to take time and pause and celebrate them. And, you know, sometimes, some of you may know this experience, you know, sometimes you're away from persons on your birthday. And it's just you. And I had a couple of those. Those are interesting experiences. But you still celebrate them. And you're still glad that you have them. We also have some prayer concerns that we want to note. Of course, continue to remember Lori and Mike and the families. Lori is continuing to make progress. Is she walking more than she was? So she is continuing to build some strength. And so we praise the Lord for that. And we're so thankful for that. Also want you to continue to remember Emily Leeds. She is, of course, dealing with cancer. Last week, Phil shared one of Carolyn, my friends, Edward Constantine. He's a teacher in the Wake County school system, but he is having surgery in the coming days. Mesothelioma, and so please be praying for him. A lot of people have been reaching out in that respect, so please remember them. Also continue to remember Sue Alloway. She is at the Bryan Center, but continue to remember her. Oh, did she come home? Okay, so she did get her wish to come home. So is she doing well? Okay. Well, great. Well, look, I'm glad to be corrected on that. So I'm glad that that's happening. So that's good. That's good. Continue to remember Brandon as he continues to serve us in many different ways. Lift him up. Keep him in your prayers as well. Also reminded that Sue's half-brother Charles was recently diagnosed with cancer. We got a lot of cancer here this time, and please remember him as well. Ray Ensco, as you know, has been fighting some battles, and so continue to remember him. Juanita and Aubrey Vickers. Juanita continues to move on, and of course she's has issues with her knees and stuff, and inflammation. Continue to remember her. Also continue to lift up Aubrey. Aubrey has made some progress, but continue to make to lift him up, and that he may be strengthened, and that the Lord will give him that strength to keep pushing on and fight the good fight. Also continue to remember Ann Williams. I was able to see her a week or so ago, and she continue to remember her, and that she may find the strength that she needs for each day. Remember Linda Fogelman, the girls, the family, and William. You have to admire William. William has done a very admirable thing this past year. You know, when you get a diagnosis like the one he got, you have some choices that you can make. And they're hard choices sometimes. And I remember when I was at Bragg-Town, a decision that a person that had was caring and actually had taught Grace and Johanna in the nursery was undergoing cancer, a bad form of cancer. And I remember very vividly in the hospital room talking with her. And, you know, I was a young minister at the time and trying to bring some comfort. But, you know, the thing that I always found out about hospital ministry is that the persons in the hospital were ministering more to me, I think, than I was ministering to them. And I really mean that. I tried to bring the word. I tried to share prayers and to give comfort. But in many cases, and in this one particular case, the person had decided to stop treatment because she wanted to have more good days than bad days. And those are tough decisions. But she taught me something. Take each day and value it. Don't take it for granted. And when you have a good day, live it. And I like to say with William, that's exactly what he has done, and that's exactly what the family has done. You rally around, and you don't take anything for granted. Live each day, because as we know, you turn around, and you're 67, and you're not 18 anymore, you know, even though you can still remember it. But don't take it for granted. And William is in that stage now, as you know, hospice is working with him. Lift them all up. This is an important time. It's a time when you want to be close, and you want to be close to God, and you want to be close to each other. So lift them all up at this time. Also want to give you a report on Kaylee. Many of you have heard about her. She is a two-year-old child that Stephanie Thornton, who's Shirley Madry's daughter, Stephanie and her husband have been actually been working with 3 2-year-olds, but Kaylee is one that, as you know, recently they found some cysts on a lymph node, and so they did some surgery the other day. And Susan reminded me this morning that she'd gotten a note from Shirley, and that I think they're resting right now from everything, which is good. But pray for them and pray for these children. All 3 of them, but particularly since we know that there's an issue here with Kaylee, pray that God will be very merciful with her and very kind to her, and that she will feel the strength and the presence of all those who are around her and are with her. And with that being said, may we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, there are a lot of people that are hurting today, a lot that we've mentioned, a lot that we know. And it just reminds us of how precious life is and what a privilege it is that we can come here today and celebrate through music and through scripture and through sharing the word and conversation with each other. It is indeed such a privilege and such an honor to be able to worship you and to strengthen each other. And dear Lord, help us not to take prayer for granted. Help us to realize that prayer is our direct connection to you. And may we use it often. And may we realize that even in those times when we feel that you are not there, that you are indeed there lifting us up. Even when we can't feel it, even when we don't see it. Because you are everlasting. You are eternal. And you never abandon us. Dear Lord, we also pray for all those that are suffering, not just with health, financial concerns, civil unrest, political turmoil. There's way too much hate in our world right now. We have a message of unconditional love. We have a message of grace. We have a message of mercy. We have a message of God's favor. And may we proclaim that message broadly and with strength and with vigor. And to paraphrase the 2 Chronicles 7:14, Lord, we humble ourselves. We pray and we seek your face. Give us the strength to turn from our evil ways, for we know that you hear our prayers. Our sins have been forgiven through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that you will heal our country. Lord, we pray that you will send a revival and that the seeds of this great spiritual awakening will continue to grow. And will it continue to pick up steam and spread like wildfire? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Done for me.
See, that's a song about freedom. And that's what made the difference for Paul. Because when I read this passage, we're going to go back and look at one of the passages that Phil had with the first chapter of Galatians. See, the difference with Paul is when he realized that Jesus laid his life down for him, for Paul, for Paul. That was the point where he saw the true freedom. Because Paul knew the law, and he knew it well. And he knew that that wasn't enough. But that's what made the difference. Now, before we get started, I'm going to share part of the children's story with you because it's important. What we got here? Anybody recognize a little figure we got at the top? Yeah, we got a Smurf here. And a Smurf with a stop sign. Now, for the children this week, they're learning about the importance of when you get ready to cross the street, even if you don't see one of these, what do you want to do? You want to stop. You want to look around. Now, we also made it where it was real contemporary. I like this stop sign with the shades. That's good. I like that one. It just reminds us to stop, but also kind of chill out a little bit as well. But the reason I wanted to start the sermon with this, stop. Look at what Jesus has done for you. What has Jesus done in your life? Stop. Stop. Look and listen. Stop. Now, we're talking about freedom today. And we're talking about that freedom that comes. There are certain places I cannot go. And so, yeah. There's a great book that was written. I guess the Lord wanted me to talk about this. There's a great book that was written a couple of years ago called The Land in Between. And it's talking about the Israelites wandering in the desert. They were in between places. A lot of times, and I think right now, with what we're all going through right now on so many different fronts, we're in that land in between. It's not this, and it's not that. But we're kind of in the middle of somewhere. And the question is where are we going to end up? Now, the lesson in all of that is that the Jewish people learned that they had to rely on God's provision. And we do well to do the same. God does provide, and God will lead us. But I wanted to talk today about something a little different. And I debated about whether to do this and decided not to, because it might be just a little bit too much interaction. But I got to go back a little bit in time. Any of y'all ever heard the group Chicago? All right. They did a song called Free. And I was going to play that song because I just want to be free. Oh, baby, tell me about it. You know, it's a good song. That's all you get. I'm not going to go any further than that. But it reminded me about something. Freedom can be a very, very interesting thing. Here's freedom. Taking a group of about 20 to 22 persons around the age of 18 to 22 to New York City. That's freedom. And they're in a jazz band and they're all musicians. That's freedom. And I had that opportunity. Elon had a program where they had a 414 semester, and so during the winter term, you had a chance to do something different, special. A lot of the study abroad classes were then. But the jazz ensemble would always go on tour during that month. And so you had the opportunity to go through massive rehearsals. Now, the good thing about the experience was is that a lot of music majors were in the jazz band, so they arranged a lot of the music, and they were a way to test out their arrangement. And it's fun. I was fortunate enough to be able to play with them. And we ended up one year, we played right off 42nd Street in New York City. We arrived 12 o'clock in the morning for a 1 o'clock rehearsal with a jazz trumpeter who had just finished a Broadway show. We got one chance to rehearse it, and we were really lucky we had that one chance, because usually at that level, there ain't no rehearsal. You just go straight to it. But we were going to be backup for a jazz trumpet player by the name of Ray Copeland. You might not have heard of him, but you may have heard of Clark Terry. You may have heard of Dizzy Gillespie. They were all big trumpet players. So it was a real honor to be able to do that. But I still remember the freedom that 22 people have in New York City. And you can make all kind of choices during that period of time. And so freedom, you have to understand what true freedom is. And so I thought, freedom. Well, some of the music that we played, of course, was Chicago. And the song Free, I played that song. It's a great song. It's got a great horn section in the middle part of it. So it's a great song. We played jazz. We played fusion. We played rock. We kind of mixed it all. We played Stan Kenton on one hand, and then we'd be playing Chicago the next, and then a Maynard Ferguson song thrown in. I mean, a really, really interesting mix of things. But I got to thinking about the lyrics to the song Free. And what I want to do is share those lyrics with you and then clarify it with the lyrics that you find here in the Psalms and in the letter to Galatians. Kind of a different way of looking at freedom in that respect. So, when Chicago put out this song, Free, it was early 70s. I'm going to do my best. It's the metal, and I may have made it worse. But when Chicago put out that song, some interesting lyrics that are there. And so I want to share those with you. The first lyric. I just want to be free. Have you ever said that? I just want to be free. I want this stuff, whatever is going on, to stop. That was the reason for the stop sign. I want it to stop. I just want to be free. Well, we can be free. We have the opportunity to make choices. God gave us free will. We can choose. But it doesn't mean that we can always have what we want the way we want it. Burger King lied. You can't have it your way. You may try to have it your way, but there's some consequences of having it your way. But you do have a choice. The next line. Now think about the prayer requests that we had. These are prayer requests that remind us of life and the reality of life and what we face. The second line to that song is, I want to be free of all hurt. We don't argue with that. We don't want to hurt. But what do we know? We're going to hurt. There is not a single one of us here that has not hurt in one way or another during our life. The question is, did we allow God to work in our lives and to work with us as we are going through that hurt, as we're experiencing that hurt? Or do we try something else? You know, we can try drugs. We can try alcohol. We can self-medicate. We can do all kinds of things. Are any of those lasting solutions? No. They're all temporary. They're all temporary. And too often we reach out for that quick fix, that temporary fix, instead of relying on the eternal one, the everlasting one, the source of strength that never dries up. Because maybe we take it for granted, or we can't see it, or we feel so alone. The next line, I want to be free of all the pain. Free of all the pain. Pain. Health-related pain. Relationship pains. Financial pains. Sometimes we just want it to all go away. But a lot of life and living life is living it in relationship with God and dealing with it, no matter how unpleasant it might be. I think this is what gives persons that don't know Christ, and even persons that know Christ, a hard time. We think we're going to get a pass on suffering and pain. We don't, but we do get help. We get help in dealing with it. I just want to end these lonely hours. All I got to do is say COVID, right? That says it all, doesn't it? Loneliness. See, we realize that we do need each other. We really do. We don't like to be alone. We don't like that isolation. And then this last line. And I was never quite sure how to really take this last line, so I'm not going to try to overinterpret it. In these lonely days, I just want to be free. Well, sometimes you can end them, but it takes a very radical solution. And you really don't want to go there. But I'm going to tell that story for a reason. How many of you remember Ravi Zacharias? Ever heard of him? An evangelist. Ravi Zacharias. He had a ministry based in Atlanta. Great apologist. Defender of the faith. Ravi Zacharias, when he was a teenager, attempted suicide. He was unsuccessful. He botched it. But it was in that failed attempt that he came to know Jesus. And he got this thirst for the Word of God. It was in that moment that he received that. Well, what you may or may not know, I've mentioned him several times recently. Back in March, he was diagnosed with cancer, and it was bad. He died about a month ago. Aren't you glad that he knew the Lord and that he led others as well to the Lord? Think of that life. Had he been successful, what all would have been missing at that point? And so sometimes we want that pain to go away.
And so I want to suggest to you, I'm going to suggest to you three scriptures that help us understand what salvation through faith is and why it's not based on works and why it's not based on the law. How many of us follow all the rules and the instructions to the T? None of us. How many of us can get to breakfast without messing something up? You know, think about it. If we had to rely on the law and keeping the law, none of us would be in good shape. None of us. But Jesus did something about that. And God reminds us, don't take your eyes off me and who I am. The law was given to try to help, but the law is not enough. You need to know the Savior. You need to know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Master. And I'm not talking about head knowledge. I'm talking about really knowing Jesus. Really knowing. So, let's take a look at some scriptures. This first... The first is God is our refuge. I think it's when I make that transition. I think I just try to stay put for a little bit. That's going to be interesting. So let me share with you the 62nd Psalm. I'm not going to read all of it. It's worth reading. All of it is worth reading. And if you haven't read it recently, I strongly recommend you take a look at it. Psalm 62. But I want to pick out verses 5-8. It goes like this. Rest. Alone, my soul, for my hope comes from Him. He is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. My salvation and glory depend on God, my strong rock. He is my refuge. He is my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. Thank you. I appreciate that. Very perceptive. Thank you, sir. See, they trained him well. He is always keeping his eyes on what needs to be done. So the training is working. So thank you, sir. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. Now, what does all that mean? A refuge is a shelter. A shelter keeps you safe, especially in times of trouble, in a time of danger. God is our shelter. God is our source of hope. We can try to do it alone. We can try to do it on our own power. But I think we find very quickly that that's not enough. Sooner or later, life knocks you off your feet. And it ain't just one time. It's multiple times. And you know, I like to think about this thing. You go through different seasons of life. And you kind of get knocked off your feet during each season. It's just in a different way. And so you want to remember that God is there. That God is your hope. And that God is our refuge. God is the foundation of our life. God is rock solid. God loves us conditional. I like this one phrase from David Jeremiah. God loves you. He always will. And he always has. That covers it all. Always will. And always has. Trust God at all times. You know, sometimes we feel alone and we feel abandoned. And the author of Footprints got it right. And you really understand it when you see those footprints in the sand in your life and you realize they're not your footprints. The realization that you're being carried and you're being carried by your Lord and Savior. It's not you. It is God that is pulling you and me through it. So may we open our hearts to God and allow Him to work through us. So first, God is our refuge. Now let's turn to Galatians. Paul was not a people pleaser. And we don't have to please people. We're not asked to even please God. We're just asked to what? Serve. Serve. And accept Jesus as the Lord of our what? Life. We're not in the people-pleasing business. Now, why would I say that? Phil shared with you last week the first chapter of Galatians, but I just found it was just necessary to go back. Not anything that you didn't say, Phil, but just necessary to go back to pick up something to make a connection. And here it is, verses 10 through 12. For am I now trying to persuade people or God? Or am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. What do you mean by that? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. In other words, he's laid his own life down and picked up what? That cross. And he's bearing it and he's carrying it. You see, think about this for a second. What was Paul best known for prior to his conversion? Persecution of Christians. What does that mean? Paul knew who Christians were. He also knew what they believed. See, I don't think we think about that too often. Did Paul know that the Christians believed that Jesus was the Son of God? What would the answer to that be? Yes, he knew that. Did he know that Christians believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Yes, he knew that. Did he know that Jesus suffered and died, rose again, and ascended to heaven? He knew it. What was the problem? What do you think? He knew it. He just didn't believe it. Think about that. He just didn't believe it. And so, he would have been perfectly fine doing what he was doing, because was he kind of doing what he thought he was supposed to do by persecuting this group anyway? They're troublemakers. He was just simply doing what? Getting them out of the way. But see, something happened on the road to Damascus for Paul. So notice what he says here. This message that I got. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin. In other words, it's not just something somebody dreamed up. Now, can people dream up stuff and get a group of people to follow them? Yes, they can. Is it easy to do it? You betcha. It's not hard to get a group of people to follow you, particularly if you can dangle something at them and promise them something that they really, really want and hit them where they're most vulnerable. Think about it.
How many things do you buy that you really didn't plan on buying? You think advertising works? It works. It works real well. So it's not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, and I was not taught it. In other words, the disciples didn't teach me this. I was trying to wipe them out. But it came by a revelation from Jesus Christ. You see, Paul got to hear it firsthand. And when he heard it firsthand, it changed his life. And it changed it forever. And then he gives us these words on freedom. Chapter 2 of Galatians. I want to go all the way to the end of the chapter. We may pick up some of the other stuff in some of the future messages. But get this. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. In that revelation, in that Damascus experience, Paul realized, and he was a Pharisee. He understood the law. He studied under Gamaliel. He knew the law. But he knew it wasn't enough. God revealed to him through Jesus Christ himself that the law is not enough. And then this 20th verse, if you want to read something and keep pondering it, this is such a powerful verse. I'm going to spend a little bit of time here. I have been crucified with Christ. That identification with Jesus is what? Complete. I want to ask you a question, and I'm asking myself the same question. Have I been crucified with Christ? Have I been on that cross? Have I joined Christ in that crucifixion? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. He's talking about the death of his self, because he's turning his life, or allowing God to turn his life around. And it's not so much that he is serving Jesus as that he's allowing Jesus to live through him. You know, we can serve Jesus, but do we allow Jesus to live through us? Now, that's a tough question. That's a good question. Do we allow Jesus to live through us? And this is exactly what he's saying. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. So is Paul living by the law? Is Paul living by works? Is Paul trying to earn his salvation? He lives by faith that he knows that Jesus died for him. Do you and I know that Jesus died for us? Do we really know that? Because notice what Paul says here. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let that sink in. God loves you. God loves each one of us. And God gave himself to each one of us. I mean, I get chills thinking about that. And I'm not kidding. Even all this sweat, I got chills right now. It's a contradiction, isn't it? But it's true. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the gospel right there. Right there.
You say, I don't know how to share the gospel. There it is. There it is. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's very, very clear what it is. And then he says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law. Now don't miss this. If righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. That's a pretty strong statement. Pretty strong statement. You see, if the law could do it, would there have been any need for the Savior? Not at all. Not at all. See, Jesus pointed out something very, very clearly. What matters is what's inside of us. What matters is what's in our heart. You know, here's the thing that gets us into a lot of trouble. And we're all guilty of this. So I'm not pointing anybody out because these are ones where the fingers all point to each other. We're two-faced. We're two-faced. Now, we try to minimize that, but how do I know that we're two-faced? Because way too often, we're one thing in public and something else in private. I don't have to convince anybody of that, do I? We know that. We know that. We also know that that's where the charge of hypocrite comes for most of us. Because, you know, others are watching us. And they're holding us to the impossible standard of the law. So we know the law don't work because we can't keep it. There's no way we can keep it. And thank God we don't have to. Because, you know, Jesus talked about the impossibility of the law. He says, you know, it's not just killing somebody. It's wanting to kill them. Okay? It's not just thinking about someone. It's about obsessing about someone. I mean, it's what's in here. And see, Paul is talking about that revelation that he got is that he realized this person that persecuted the Christians, that person is dead. That person is dead. We all know people that have done a 180 in both directions. But we know persons that have completely turned their lives around. That old life is what? Dead. It's gone. Jesus said we will have a new life. And it's an eternal life. And it's grounded as soon as we accept him as our Lord and Savior. And Christ did not die for nothing. He died for what? You and me. That's freedom. That's freedom. And God loves us so much that we can choose to accept him. And we can also choose to what? Reject him. We have a choice. We really do have a choice. May we choose freedom. Because here's what I've discovered, and I'll just speak for myself. When I choose me, I find that I'm not usually freer. I find myself more in bondage to something because things don't usually work out as you what? Want on the plan. I mean, they look great on paper and then you try to do it and you find out it just doesn't fly. It just doesn't work. So, Christ did not die for nothing. He died for you and he died for me. And so, Paul's message is very simple. We are saved by faith, not works. We don't earn it. We live by faith. We don't have to mix works and grace. The truth of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for you and he died for me, and that he offers us eternal life, which begins the moment we accept him as our Lord and Savior. Now, here's a different way of looking at accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, think about what we're really doing. We're really crucifying what? Our former self. And allowing God to what? Live through us. We go back to that crucified Christ. And we are that resurrected being. That new life. That life grounded in true freedom. So, salvation is a free gift, grounded in God's grace. It's not based on what we deserve. We receive mercy rather than justice under the law. That's what concerns me so much. I'm not going to get political. We want justice so much. I don't want justice. I want mercy. Justice. It's a hard taskmaster and it's very unforgiving. Lord, give me mercy. Give me grace. We can choose to follow our own path, or we can choose to follow Jesus. We can choose human bondage. We can choose true freedom. It's like that poem by Robert Frost. We're at the crossroads. Do we choose ourselves or do we choose Jesus? And sometimes that path that's a little harder to follow and is less followed is the one we want to follow. And I like to suggest that I'm going to answer Frost's dilemma and say that choice is Jesus. Choose Jesus. So if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you haven't done so, you can do it at any time, right where you are. If you want to renew your commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right where you are. Accept him. Paul's Damascus Road experience was right there on the spot, and it changed his life forever. That opportunity is always open as long as we are breathing. That choice is open. May we choose freedom. As we conclude today, let me paraphrase this word from Galatians 2:20. And I ask you to read it through this week. Take that verse and really meditate on it. This week, I'm going to paraphrase it just a little bit as we close. As we end our worship today and as we enter our mission fields, may we remember that we have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer us that lives, but Christ lives in us. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and me, and who gave himself to you and to me. And all God's people said, Amen.
I'm singing you this song. I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear. I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing you, the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy in sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. Giving you my heart and all that is within, I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dream and laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And God.